Okay, great. Can I ask this question? Did you all hear, anybody who's not muted, did you hear me press those buttons?
No.
Oh, you didn't. Okay, great.
Heard that.
Welcome, whoever's just joined
yes,
us.
Yes, this is Ellen Bush from Fresno, California.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for being here. So I just started the recording on the call, and I asked everyone to go ahead and press star 6, and that will mute you while we're on the call, and that just helps to cut down on background noise. And then when you're ready to speak, you can also press star 6 again. Okay. So I'd like to say thank you so much for being here, being a part of our conversation tonight on engaging young adults in the dances of universal peace. My name is Jen Friedman, and I'll be serving as the moderator on tonight's call. I am a member of the board of Dances of Universal Peace North America, and I'm also a 33-year-old dance leader and musician living in Colorado. So this is our 7th regional teleconference since we started this project in 2009. And it's just been a wonderful way for us to get together periodically and talk on various issues of importance and just feel connection with each other. Certainly I feel that right now with everyone joining in. So it's just been wonderful for us. I'd like to let you know that I did start the recording, so the recording will be up on our website in a day or two. And it also sounds like Sky Majita will be doing notes for us, so we should have those posted at the website as well, probably in a couple of weeks, I'm guessing. So if you don't want to be, you know, scribbling down notes tonight, they will be posted. So we have an hour and a half set aside for our conference call tonight, and we've assembled a panel of guest speakers. We have John Maitreya Stevens from New York, Katie Hamida Weiss from Massachusetts, Heidi Stinson from Colorado, who is now in college in Pennsylvania, and we also have Allianne Rutherford from New York. I didn't hear her join the call, but hopefully she's joining the call at some point here. And in just a few moments, I'll have them introduce themselves. But the way I envision this call flowing is that I will introduce a topic and then throw it open to discussion, first to the panel speakers and then to everyone on the call. And I definitely want to encourage everyone to please feel free to share your own experience, ask questions, speak whenever you feel moved to do so. There's no rigid structure here. We'll just flow with whatever feels like coming and see where the flow takes us. So before we begin, again, I'd like to please ask everyone who may have just joined the call to press star 6. And that will mute you for the time before you feel like speaking. When you're ready to speak again, you can press star 6. Again.
Jen, I just unmuted because I'm hearing kitchen sounds like somebody had some water on and some utensils and stuff. So there might be somebody that's not aware of the background noise. I don't know.
Yeah, thank you.
Sure.
So if everybody could just please check and make sure that you're muted. And that's, you press star 6. And I believe there's a woman who comes on and she says, "You are now muted," or something like that. So if you didn't hear that, "You are now muted," you might not be muted. So go ahead and check that. And just remember that pressing star 6 will unmute you when you're ready to speak. Okay. So I'd like to invite us to say the invocation together. And of course, I just realized I asked everyone to mute. So let's take a practice run here. How about everybody unmute themselves and we'll say the invocation together? Here's to spontaneity.
Maybe we should mute again.
Okay, so before we say the invocation, let's please take a breath, really center ourselves wherever we are. Breathe in the deep presence. Toward the one.
Toward the one.
The perfection,
the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty.
The only
being
united
with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master, the Spirit of Guidance.
Beautiful. Now go ahead and start fix yourself back in the mute land.
Am I mute?
I still hear you.
Am I muted now?
Nope, I hear you.
Mine doesn't seem to mute today.
Hmm.
Oh.
I know what, I was doing pound six, sorry. Okay.
Okay. Okay, beautiful. I think we're all getting the hang of this. So I'd like to go ahead and begin with introductions of the folks that we have selected to join us tonight. They are all young adults from all over our region. And let's begin with John Maitreya Stevens.
I am unmuted.
Yep.
So what did you say?
So if you just introduce yourself and how you came to the dances, how they have influenced you.
I don't know. Maybe 4 or 5 years ago, a dear friend invited me to a dance in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And I walked in, and there was Halima leading and Abraham playing the guitar. And I was just stunned by the amount of magnetism and energy in the air, and I had never experienced anything like that in a group of people. So naturally I was curious and brought my mandolin to a dance one day and sat down next to Abraham, and he looked at me and I looked at him, and we started playing music. So it's the dancing along with music has become a wonderful spiritual practice for me that I love to do with people. I love to sing and to experience many things that I didn't know were possible to experience, and it's just fun to do things that are beyond words. And that's how I was introduced and how it's been cultivating me.
Great, thank you. Whoop. We just had a big burst of air or somebody breathing into the phone, so if you please just press *6, that will mute you for the call, and that'll help us reduce background noise. And Katie Hamida, would you like to speak?
All right. Well, hi. So I came to the dances. I was literally dragged along for a while when I was really young, like, let's see, probably elementary school aged, with my mom, and I just sat on the outside of the circle for years and years and years. And actually, several people on this call, I'm sure you have memories of that. I would, you know, just sit outside at retreat, sit on the benches around the outside of the circle and make necklaces and just kind of listen and kind of feel what was going on. And then And then it was pretty much when I was like 16, a little older, I started going to dances and dancing instead of like just sitting on the outside or doing the movement without any thought or much thought into it. And that was just it opened up a whole new world. And interestingly enough, it was coming to the East Coast and feeling the different kind of energies and dancing between the West Coast and the East Coast that really like brought it full circle for me and made it an important practice in my life.
Great, thank you. So, I'm definitely hearing a lot of background noise. It sounds like maybe there's a child playing or something's happening. So, if you could just be mindful of where we're at and our muting, and maybe that did it because I just heard. Well, nope, I still hear it. So, if you could just check at some point to see if you're muted, that would be great. And it's *6 to mute yourself and unmute yourself. So, Heidi Stinson, I'll ask you to speak.
Okay, I think I'm unmuted.
Yes,
I'm Heidi. I'm from Colorado originally, but I'm going to school in Pennsylvania right now. And I had to call my mom and ask her when I started going to dances, but I think it was, I guess, technically before I was born, and then ever since then in a backpack and then on the floor and then standing in the circle. So I've grown up being supported in the dances and feeling really comfortable with them, just always having them be a really important aspect of my life. And then a couple years ago, I'd kind of just gotten bored and felt a little bit disenchanted, like they might be, there weren't any young people in them and it didn't connect to me as much. And a couple years ago at Wilderness, I went and felt like it was a really important thing and meant a lot to me and got involved in the dances again. And so right now I haven't found a dance circle where I live, but I'm still supported by people from dance circles all over.
Awesome, thank you. And then our last panel speaker, Allianne Rutherford. Are you on, Allie? If you're on, go ahead and unmute yourself and give us a little intro on you. I definitely do still hear somebody unmuted with talking, maybe a child, not sure. So just wanted to bring that up and call attention to just be mindful and check your status on that front periodically to make sure you're still muted. Okay, I'm not hearing Allie, so hopefully she'll join us at some point during the call. And at this point, if all the speakers would go ahead and unmute, that would be great, and then you'd be ready to speak whenever you feel called to do so. So to begin tonight, I wanted to start on the topic of getting young adults through the door, so to speak. So the question is, how do we attract young adults to come to a dance session or a dance meeting in the first place? And will social media tools like Facebook bring results for us? And I'd like to hear any successes, experiences that you might have, opinions, feedback. So whoever wants to chat about that first, please feel free to do so.
Well, this is Katie Hamida.
And since I, right now I've been working for a social media internet firm, so I feel like, you know, this calling to address this issue. And I feel really strongly that online tools are just that, that they're tools to make it easier to gather in person, and they're in no way a replacement. And I've felt drawn to, like, you know, use email or Facebook to really, like, try and keep that connection. And it works, but it's kind of a diluted, something really gets lost over the internet. And I feel like it's a great tool to utilize to bring people together in one, like, place in time. But other than that, okay, that's my opinion.
Oh, I, my Treya here. I personally have not really used social media, and I haven't really been holding a circle for very long either. Excuse me. But, you know, I've used it. I've emailed a friend or two to remind them that there's dancing on a particular night. But while Katie Hamidi was talking, I just had a vision of a dance leader tweeting while leading a dance, updating the masses on how it's going. Thought you liked that, Hamida. So, yeah, Heidi, is this, do you use social media?
This is Heidi. I think that, I don't know, I always get emails from Sky telling me about dance events. And even if I can't go, I like that feeling of being connected. So I think it's a good thing.
This is Astara in Seattle. And I have run meetup groups in adjunct with Sahaja meditation, which I practiced for the last 10 years. And that typically draws 20-year-olds to the ongoing supported event. But you have to make sure when you use the social media that you state that there's people coming from other, they've heard about it in other ways, because they might be discouraged not to come if they see there's only a couple people that signed up to come to something. But like the earlier person said, it's no substitute for having follow-up and support one-on-one, where someone from the DOP calls that person and invites them personally. That kind of thing is what is needed to sustain a relationship and create it going forward. So I just mention it because it's a comparable endeavor, the meditation that I've been a part of. It started about 30 years ago, grassroots in most countries, and even in Taliachi, I noticed, where the UP exists also. So anyway, that was what I wanted to say, because I'm watching some kids in a park. I wanted to mute it now.
Has anybody had success bringing people using Facebook? Twitter, sounds like Meetup, there's some success there, but specifically attracting young adults?
Yeah, this is Sky Majida, and I don't. So my specific question to anybody who can answer it is, how do you get the kids there? What do you do?
That was my next question.
Hi, this is Marcus Fung calling from Edmonton, Alberta. I'm 31 years old, and I've been dancing for a few years. And I'm in kind of a unique position. I'd love to share kind of my insight of, you know, to why I've been drawn to the dances and what makes me not want to come to the dances sometimes. For myself, I really hear what everyone's saying about Facebook and Twitter, and it's a tool. But people, you know, our face. In our community, we live in a kind of a mid to fair-sized town. There used to be nothing to do, but now every single weekend, every single day, there's like 3 or 4, 5. You're getting so many crams, like emails and Facebook messages, And things just kind of lose their ring and their charm. And there's amazing things. There's like raw food, this, kundalini dance, this meditation, gong shows, crystal bowls. And I really resonate with what Star was saying, too, was just saying, you know, that's what it really, Facebook, it was so powerful and it was so good. And people were, but you know, the same kind of underlying issues came, and we wanted to check to see who's coming on the guest list. Like, oh, are there going to be new people there? Like, am I going to meet somebody? Am I going to meet somebody that I like? Kind of things like that. And what I'm in an interesting position because I offer my own events and different kinds of circles and drumming and things like this. And so I'm a new apprenticing dance leader, and so I've had to think a lot about how to, like, you know, how am I going to maintain this stream of interest while there's so many other things going? And the thing that, what I really liked the most about what Star said was, I feel we're returning to the time where we need to make the phone calls again. And be like, hey, listen, I would really love you to come and to join us for this evening. And whether they do or they don't, it's totally okay. But it's like, I feel that's kind of where the energy is coming again. Like, I really believe that Facebook and creating little, iMovie slideshows and, you know, capturing the essence of the dances will, like, you know, nothing longer than 1 or 2 minutes of footage will drop people in. You know, there's so much media on Facebook coming in. But anyways, I just offered a whole bunch of scattered thoughts. Sorry for that, but kind of getting centered here before. I really hope to share and be part of this conversation. Yeah, thank you.
Well, I guess what I'm hearing is, you know, we should make personal contact with the people that we know who have had interest in the past, but how do we get to those folks who've never heard of us or what we're doing, or, you know, is there a way to get to those people who we don't already know are interested?
This is Hi Rifata, from Seattle, and we have used Facebook, I don't know, for a couple years maybe, and it's not just the young people it's getting a variety, but the truth is that the median age is lower than our median age of the regular, you know, people who have been coming for a long time. So there are some younger people in there, and, you know, some just slightly younger. I mean, some of us are turning 60, and, you know, we're going, hey, it's lovely to get somebody who's close to 40, you know? So we occasionally get young people, and, you know, that's a gift when it happens, but getting new people who didn't know about it, who are old fogies like us, well, I feel good because, you know, they deserve to get to dance too.
This is Ananda. Is it all right if I jump in?
Yes, please.
Okay, thank you. I'm really happy to be on the call. I'm in Central New Jersey. I think that there is a lot of possibility and a lot of opportunity in the social media, specifically Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter, I'm thinking of. I've had some very positive experiences lately using Twitter, and increasingly effective experiences in using Facebook and LinkedIn. And the reason for that, I think, in part, is that I've been learning how to use these media effectively from people who, are highly skilled and trained and experienced in using these kinds of media. And I'll add that I've been, I've been using the internet since before it became widespread, and what I'll say is that I think that It's important for people who would like to share the dances to think about ways to communicate with each other using this these media, because I think that as we, because there are always going to be other things that these media are going to be used for, but if we choose to use them and let people know that we are out there, we do exist, and that this is one opportunity that they can take advantage of. And if existing dancers start using these media more, then it's just a matter of time, I think, before more people of a variety of ages and prior interests will become involved, because I really get that there are people out there who don't know about us, and if we create a presence in using these media effectively, that they'll find us.
This is Hamida.
Hi, this is Melina. Hello. I live in Jackson right now, but the way that I got involved was I grew up in Taos at the Llama Foundation, and I would go there with a friend of mine, and it was just amazing because we were really young, got introduced to it early, and would go with her mother and sister. So there were a lot of parents who would bring their kids, and I think that was the best way to kind of be introduced, because it was kind of a whole family thing. So I think right now, as adults, they should keep bringing their children to kind of get everyone into it that way. And then if those kids brought their friends, and then those friends brought friends, you know, kind of do a connection thing just by experience and sharing it firsthand. I loved Kirtan and still do. And it was just really fun to be part of it as at a young age. And Facebook, I would totally think that would work, but it doesn't for me, because nothing's really going on in Jackson via Facebook with Universal Peace Dances. But if I saw an invitation on Facebook, I would definitely go. So I think it should be there, whether or not people think that anyone would see it. And, of course, it does get confusing with all the other invitations, but it's always a good alternative. And also, sorry, this is long, but if youth are journalists, they should write about Universal Peace gatherings in newspapers and online journal articles. And just in that way, I feel like it would get out there to a younger age group, and they would know that it's going on.
Going right off that, this is Hamida. So I feel like Facebook is, of course, an imperfect tool, but we kind of have to approach it like we would a bulletin board. Like, you know, people used to put posters up on a bulletin board to advertise a dance and to get people to come in. But now, instead of using fancy graphics or, you know, bright colors, the text is really important. So finding a really honest, kind of, you know, straight to the heart way of describing the dances and, you know, just really hooking people's curiosity in one or two sentences, which is not an easy task. But I think that's one of the things that has to be done, and maybe linking to different websites like, you know, the DUP website and places where people can listen to music, so that if they're more auditorily leaning, then they can go find, you know, so they have access to whatever avenues they resonate with most.
Hi, this is Yakin. Can I jump in?
Sure.
We have in our town, we have a small college called Prescott College, and it attracts alternative youth from around the country. And for years, I've been trying to, you know, like get them to come to our dances, and we've tried, like they have their own newspaper, we put ads in there, and we put flyers up, and we have our New Year's Eve dance at the college every year, and we rarely get people to come from there. And this is a school which spirituality is a part of the education, so lots of courses on multiple religions and things like that. So it seems like they would be like an ideal group, that would enjoy our dances. And I finally, after a couple of years, got myself invited to lead dances at a class there. And I felt like there was a communication. So there's something that I don't understand about how to communicate to the young folks, because everything I was saying just kind of seemed to bounce off. And what the previous speaker just said about like how, you know, how you word things to catch their interest. That's what I'm really looking for, is like how, you know, what communication, not so much the tools like, you know, emails, phone calls, and Facebooks, but what is it, you know, maybe there's a language barrier of sorts, you know, like I have my language from the 60s and 70s, you know, or whatever, and now it's different, or I don't know, but I know we're speaking, we have the same interest, because I've known a lot of the students there over the years, and some, at least one of which is a dance leader in Colorado now. But I'm still wondering, you know, how do I communicate with them? And then my second kind of question to the group would be, you know, that's the group I've kind of focused on, thinking that they would be ideal. But maybe there, you know, are there other groups, you know, that you could go to? I mean, like high schools, for instance. What other ways could we find young folks to? And you know, I know from experience that you get people to the dance, they either catch it or they don't. And if they don't, that's fine, you know. But some you keep open and some will. So anyway, that's my comments and questions for any feedback. Thank you.
Thank you. I'd like to continue with that thought. My name is Allie Rutherford, one of the speakers, and I apologize. I came in a little late. I came in about maybe, you know, a few people had talked about social media, and I have been listening since then. I'm 23 years old, and I learned the dances while I was living in Hawaii. And the whole group that I was dancing with were, you know, at least 30 years old. Most of the people there were in their 40s or 50s or older. And coming back into Syracuse, our circle here, everyone is at least 40 years old, so I'm pretty used to it. I don't really see myself as being any kind of age, sort of in that ageless place of just connecting with people from their purity. And I see that, it's interesting from the perspective of people who are my age, in their 20s, college-age students. We are, you know, a lot more connected, I feel, or at least the younger people are connected to their truth still in some ways, and know that, you know, they just want to have fun. They want to be happy and have fun. And when there's a lot of wordiness, which I found sometimes in older dance leaders, you get sort of in this flow of just, you know, like saying it how it is, and just this is the way that it is because this is the way that it's always been, kind of thing, and not really adding the spontaneity and the fun and the excitement. And that's really what my age group I am finding is looking for, more energy. More spontaneity and more of that awareness that we are all the light. We are all in this space of infinite awareness. And there's not as much of that, like, leader-dancer kind of hierarchy going on. It's we're all in it together. And flowing from that, I've thought about, you know, how to incorporate younger people like high school students. And what I've considered is possibly doing, you know, talking to the different high schools, principals or whoever you talk to about this, school board, and talking about possibly as a special event for the school doing a dance of universal peace for maybe a half an hour and just introducing it to the students that way. You know, just like vitamin L. I don't know if you guys know who that is. Vitamin Love is what it stands for. They would come into different elementary schools. I remember them coming into my elementary school, and they would sing songs about, you know, like no put downs, pass it around, different things that really promoted like love and gratitude and, you know, just things like that. So introducing it to high school students in that kind of context is what I've considered. And I love the idea 2 sisters ago she said about writing an article about the dance, about the dances, and I write for a music magazine, so that would be a good place to write an article. Flyers have worked for me, posting flyers in different coffee shops. I live in a college town. There's about 4 universities within about 5 miles, so posting flyers in coffee shops and different local eateries has been really helpful to get a younger crowd. So website is another great idea, and I just started a website, but having video and sound on there, you know, would be a great idea that someone else had mentioned. So I just said a lot, so if anyone has anything to add to that or...
I'd like to jump in. Ali, thank you. This is Abraham in Cambridge, and I appreciate your focus on love and a universal consciousness and the magnetism that is what draws people. I first started dancing, I was 24, and the dance leader was 73 years old, Murshid Sam. And he had infinite magnetism and infinite energy to, and there was no issue about youth or age. He also said something very profound, which has to be remembered here. He said, I don't come to lead the youth. I come to follow the youth. I will walk with the youth into the new age. And I think as leaders, we need to keep, you know, our sense of vitality and magnetism alive in the dance. I think these ideas of drawing people to the dance through, you know, whatever means of communication we can put out, social media and whatever, that's all good. But I'm even more concerned about what happens in the dance. Do we lead dances that are magnetic? Do they draw people in? Are they something that young people will want to attend because they're vital and engaging and full of heart? I have great trust in young people. I mean, our secret in Cambridge in terms of attracting young people is we have people like Katie Hamida or Maitreya come in, and they're very magnetic and they're beautiful people, and young people will then be drawn to them. And so we have a positive relationship with many generations. And I think that's an important feature of making it safe for new young people to come in and feel welcome. Well, I've said enough. Thank you.
Thanks, Abraham. My trainer here to go with you on that. I wanted to say a little while back that social media gets the word out, but like what the dances teach, it teaches develop relationships. So if you're a dance leader, you want to draw younger folks in, develop a friendship with, maybe they'll come in a year, maybe they'll come in a week. And just to comment more on what's been going on is, was it Murshid Sam or Hazrat Nayyid Khan said that, you know, Sufism is about experience, not premise. And, you know, to make it rich and juicy, that will draw so many people in, and young folks will forget about holding hands with each other if that's uncomfortable. They'll forget about looking the other's eyes. They'll let go of realizing they're dancing with people their parents' age, which could be a hinder to them. And also treating younger people differently has a negative impact, I feel, that when you treat them differently, that's creating distinctions and differences, which can be easily felt. So just, I don't know, looking at young people as just being people, like Eliane said, would be quite beneficial.
Hi, this is Sky Majida. And to follow on with that, last year at our local camp, Martin Mize from Silver City brought some very old dances, ones that were done. He started dancing right after Sam died. And there's a lot of energy in those dances. And what I realized as I started comparing those dances to ones that we generally do in our circles is there is a vitality, an intensity, a high energy to a lot of those dances. And sometimes I look at our dance sessions, you know, the way we put them together and the dances we include, and I think if I had been faced with those dances, the kind that we do now, when I was 20, in my 20s, I don't know if I would have been attracted late either. They're deep and they're meaningful, but it's at a very more subtle level. It doesn't get that vitality going. One of my favorite ones that works with kids, Maitreya, is yours, the zikr of the groove that you since changed the movements to. But they really liked it with the old movements. It really got them in there engaged.
Well, Sky, you can lead it however you want.
Thank you.
I'm honored.
I was wondering.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I would like to, I know this is going to be quite challenging to sit in kind of a cyber circle, and as the thoughts come, and I just feel all this intense energy in my belly, and I want to share, but all my thoughts are kind of crisscrossing. You just honor me by hearing me out for a moment, and my thoughts may not be totally clear, but I would like to try to share what I feel is at the essence of this conversation. For myself, who I'm so into the dances, Marcus again, 31, Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. So I look at it from a different point of view. There's the one point of view of like, okay, when I go and dance, I'm maybe one or two, three of, you know, under 30 or 30-year-olds, and I used to dance with 60 or 70-year-olds, and I love it. I mean, it's no problem for me, but I mean, as this younger generation comes by and as we watch, you know, the aging and witness the aging of our dance elders and of our leaders and our family, we think, okay, well, I want to share this. I want to share this, and we want to make sure this lives on, and this lives on and on. And so there's that kind of expression. So why aren't people coming? Because I feel that sentiment too. We've danced dances in our cities, and people have came, you know, our friends and our kind of immediate kind of, you know, bohemian tribal community. They've come, but they didn't necessarily come back. They've enjoyed them, but they've come back. And so I want to separate that just for myself as one issue. Okay, so how? If we're interested in propagating the dances, what is it? And what are the questions? Why aren't people coming? I want to separate that from, you know, using social media and to attract those who are already there, who are willing to check it out. There's so many different kinds of people drawn to different kinds of things. And so I'm going to separate that. What I would like to speak on is the first part, and thank you everybody for speaking. Thank you, Ali. I totally resonate with what you're saying in terms of this energy and this vitality, and you know, and in some sense, it's kind of freedom. Freedom is what I want, and I think what I've come to realize in the dances, listening to my body, I love the dances, but my lower back for me just kills after, like, you know, a long dance retreat, and I ask myself, I ask my body, why is that? And it's because my body, it needs more freedom. I need to move it in my own way. I need to express the energy that's flowing through my body in my own way. And the way I've kind of reflected on it is this, you know, we have this, not polarity, but this yin and the yang, or this, you know, in the dances, we're lending ourselves to the one and to this great spirit and to this ode to practice of unity, and that, you know, and I feel like for what, you know, people my age are looking for, I mean, although, yeah, it's true, excitement and stuff, I mean, the sincere seeking is there, and that spark is there. I mean, I feel the essence of the dances is very pure, the way it's being, you know, the way the lineage has been supported, all these things, it's very pure, and like any kind of beautiful thing, it shouldn't have to be jazzed up or amped up. I mean, we can use our sensibilities to try to make it attractive to a certain level, but I feel, for me, like, you know, if what my body needs, this is what my wisdom is telling me, in order for me to keep going to these dances, get what I need, is I need to feel that opposite end of the, to explore the other end of the spectrum while I'm dancing. I need, you know, like Ali was saying, everyone just needs to go and rock out and just like bust out. I know the dances have opportunities for that, but, you know, so to really balance that practice of unity, but the practice of also going within and just moving how I need to move and singing how I need to sing and, you know, dancing how I need to dance and really finding when I think about what draws me to certain events and what draws what might draw some of my friends or my immediate kind of tribal community, I believe it's kind of getting closer to that. And then anyone can feel free to reflect or add to that in terms of does anything need to change with the way the dances are being shared in order for it to keep living on, you know, in the way that it's being, maybe not the essence of the practice, but the complement or... Anyways, thank you. That's what I wanted to say.
So this is Jen, and I just, that last part, what you were saying, is actually relates very well to one of our questions that we came up with, and that was, you know, does the dance meeting itself need to have some kind of different entry point that appeals to young adults or teenagers? Most of the times we begin with a meditative walk, and we say the invocation, and then we launch into our dance session, our dance program. But would free movement work well for young adults? You know, that's kind of what I thought I was hearing from you, Marcus. Mm-hmm. You said you need to let your body go, you need to rock out. What does that look like? What is that specifically? How do we do that during a dance session?
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody else wants to jump in there, that was just...
This is Patsy. I'd like to jump in here.
Okay.
Jump,
Patsy, jump.
I know. That's. I totally hear that because I love to dance, and that's what made the dances so attractive to me as a practice, because I like to move my body and I like to go wild with my body. I like to do that too. And I've, you know, often been with that question of, well, how about just rocking out here? How about just everybody go, you know, express themselves? And I feel that there needs to be a place for that in the dances. And I feel like with certain dance leaders, there is that kind of place. But I am, right now, I'm serving as the board chair for Oneness Project. And the reason I said yes to doing this work is because of this very statement, engaging young adults in the dances of universal peace. So I... like vowed to myself, okay, on my watch, we're going to make a change here. We're going to open this up in some way with the input from the young people that are already dancing, like the people that are already on this call, and make this accessible and attractive to, you know, younger folks. And so to begin that, next year's Wilderness Camp, we are featuring three younger dance leaders, and Maitreya is one of them. And I want to do, well, you know, I feel like by having three younger, you know, featured younger leaders, you know, a man from Colombia, who's 32, and Maitreya, and Sarah Rain from Colorado. And I want, here's what I'm hoping for, is that this will provide a, you know, a cooking pot for how the dances can go forward. And so for Wilderness, I want to make, now we've got these three younger people for leaders. Now I want to get, as participants, younger people as well. And so, so all of these questions on how to attract people are absolutely pertinent, and we want to provide whatever resources we have, you know, we want to use those to help younger people come to Wilderness next summer.
Thank you. I'd like to continue on that. This is Allie again. Just put some things that I've added are, you know, allowed the free expression to happen in the dances that I lead. For the invocation, like to start, to begin, you know, lots of leaders do more of a meditation kind of walk. And that's where I like to have the free movement, because it's a meditation to be in your body and to breathe in from the earth and to breathe out from the cosmos and to feel yourself as, you know, being moved. So that's how we start, with just improvised music. And I found to keep the energy in every single song, it's essential to have a drum, to have the drum to just keep the energy. In certain songs that I haven't had a drum, it's just, you know, it sort of drags and it's not as powerful and uplifting for people. You know, so for the leader to be aware of the energy of the group is really essential. And to be, you know, to have a certain attitude about each song, to have a certain awareness of each song and the deeper meanings, and to even, you know, have the movements for the songs that are in different languages, to have the movements correlate to something that they can connect it to. So it's not just like some kind of really obscure kind of words that they're saying that they don't really understand and doesn't have really any meaning for them, to actually connect the movements to certain meanings of, you know, to always like bring back what that song really means and what that means to, you know, connect with each other, just to keep the meaning there, to keep the meditation happening when it's on the breath, and to have, you know, during the part where, you know, sometimes you say it's on your breath, to have that be a meditation for people listening to the music, listening to the improvisation of the musicians. And there's something that I also like to do, and we're opening up in Sweet Surrender. That's where I also like to add different expressive movements, you know. We're opening up in Sweet Surrender to the luminous love light of the one, you know, to just have that energy there of we're opening up in Sweet Surrender and just letting it, letting that really move people from that place of free expression. So those are just some things I wanted to share with everyone, that sort of, you know, coming from my younger energy, that's how I keep the younger people in the group. So any more input on that on younger leaders would be great.
I wanted to just ask you a question. Did you say that you do, like, free movement during the beginning, like the meditation walk you know, where most teachers do meditation walk, you do a free movement?
I still do guided, you know, like guided like meditation as far as like feeling your connection to the earth, feeling your connection, breathing, but allowing from that space of awareness, allowing your body to move the way it wants to move. So some people just, you know, stay walking or, you know, that's the way their body wants to move. Some people who really need that expression start moving their bodies, you know, in all sorts of ways, back and forth and up and down and spinning around and things like that. So it all depends, and it works for everyone at all of their energy levels.
So you sort of begin, like, with a meditative walk and then encourage people to express whatever their body wants to express? In the circle, is that?
Yep. And that's while walking and while moving.
Oh, okay.
So it's not like we're looking at each other or anything. We're walking and moving and just being in our own space, in our own energy.
This is Heidi. I think I'm off mute, am I?
Yeah, you're
okay. I was just, as someone who has tried to get my peers to come to dances, something I've noticed is that a lot of people who haven't been dancing for a long time, well, actually most young people who I've ever tried to bring to dances or involve with them, are really uncomfortable with the slower dances. They aren't used to the kind of, in our culture and society, eye contact isn't really strongly endorsed, neither is contact in a way that's not romantic but is still intimate in a loving, compassionate way. And so for a lot of them, their comments have always been, it's so weird when we do these things. And the dances that are more upbeat and faster give them a chance to be more comfortable with contact, physical contact, and this intimate, compassionate eye contact and space. Without giving them a chance to think about what they're doing. So that I understand the importance. And again, like the free movement, a lot of people who I've tried to bring to dances have been uncomfortable with that. Like they don't want to go out and be out in the open yet in this environment where they aren't quite sure what to make of it. And sometimes when it's just started with dances and they know that there's something they can follow, it's made them feel more comfortable and open to expressing themselves in the long run.
This is Tara Andrea from Santa Fe. Am I unmuted?
Yes.
I've had the great privilege of going to Germany for the last 5 years and leading the youth there in the Dance of Universal Peace, and they have, year, we've had 80 people. We've had our own tent, and we've been bursting at the seams. The way it's been going is that they've come when they were really little, fell asleep in the middle of the circle, then they didn't dance for a while, and then the leaders had the idea that they should provide dances again, and they invited me. I am German, but live in America. And somebody said earlier about being spontaneous in the speaking of how we lead the dances. When I lead dances in German, it's really rough. There's nothing rehearsed about that. It is really spontaneous and perfect. And somehow this worked at the beginning so well because we all started together at the same page. And there was like this feeling of not, I have it all together. I am the best dance leader ever. I have all my words together. And I tried to make the dance leading really short. There was not a wordiness. So it was like, how little can I say and get the essence of it across? And I would have not ever started with a walk or free movement. I couldn't. The way I get people into the tent is by just taking my guitar and walking around singing and getting them all in there, and then we just start singing, and it somehow starts. It's not that it's not that organized and really rehearsed, and the process of the whole, the way we do the dances is kind of spontaneous, and people assume co-leadership. There's like everybody feels responsible in the circle of making the dance happen somehow. I suggest the dance. They say, no, we don't want to do that. We want to do something else. And they really, really like the deeper dances a lot. They might want to do something really energetic. They love eye contact. They love that intimacy. And but, you know, they've been together. They also really like themselves as a community. So it's not just the dances they love. They love each other through the dances. And that kind of love that they have for the world, they allow themselves to share it with each other in that way. And we, in our dance circle, have a middle where they can lay down as we are dancing. A lot of them will lay down in the middle and like they were kids and just lay there and be washed over by this dancing and singing, and people take turns, and sometimes we have to ask people to get up because the circle isn't big enough. Piles. And then sometimes after a dance, we stop for a long time and just sit in silence, or we let a dance go for really, really long. So there's no rules. We go with what the energy is. Is there high energy? Is there low energy? The energy is really important to follow. And we had the phenomenon this past summer that our capacity is like 60. And in May, we had already 40 people. There were between 18 and 25. So they're now coming back without their parents, and they're bringing their friends. So they're really passionate about it, and they're dancing, you know, in their own age group, and that's really, really important. So, and how do we start that? I think by inviting young families to come, make the dances really, really attractive to have young families come with their kids, because they just get they get kind of seeded with this. And I know Heidi, we've met at some point, and a lot of people in there, I mean, they've come as kids, they kind of know the vibe and they recognize it and they treasure it, and some of them really want to keep it going. So yeah,
great. Yeah, this is Jen, and I just wanted to say that I was going to say this earlier and then didn't get to it, but I've been really going out of my way to make invitations to my friends who are just starting to have younger kids, or have kids, and who have younger kids. A lot of my friends who are my age are really seem to be attracted to the free movement with DJs kind of thing. There's something called Gypsy Nation and Rhythm Sanctuary here in Colorado, and there are DJs and people go and they just dance freely for like hours and hours. And I've made a point of telling my friends that the dances that we lead here in my hometown are really kid friendly, and that we welcome young children. And I always set up like a kids' corner, and I put out a blanket. When we're dancing outside, I put out a blanket. And I have books like The Lorax and some other books that I happen to have. And then I always put out coloring pages from, there's the dance kids book that Catherine Ashera put together. I Open My Eyes to You, I believe that's the name. And there are coloring pages of the interconnected hearts. And so I always make copies of those, and then I have them there. And then the kids just love to sit, and the parents will come and dance. And I've had a lot of people tell me how surprised they were at just the depth and meaning in the dances, that they didn't know that such a thing existed, and they were just so happy to be there. And so then I've had those people actually spread the word, and then since have had other, you know, parents with young kids come. And so I've had great success in that way. So I just wanted to share that.
Hi, this is Jessica in Oklahoma.
Hi.
Hi. This has been a really wonderful conversation. Some things I wanted to
to share. I love the idea of, you know, making a space in the center for people to be, who might not be wanting to dance but still want to be completely involved. That's one of the things that I think kept, I'm 28, and I started coming to the dances. It was the songs, really, that, I mean, that's still why a lot of why I want to come. Is for me, the singing is incredibly healing and enriches my life. So I think we've been kind of touching on many different aspects of what the Dances of Universal Peace give to us and our communities. And the healing and the nourishment and the community and the acceptance. I think the acceptance is a really eye-opening, you know, kind of like liberating for me, meeting with the Sufis and the Dances of Universal Peace. Like, I felt always that I could come to Sufi camp and kind of like dance on the outside of the circle, like doing my own ecstatic dance if I want to, and I was totally welcomed and accepted and embraced. So I like the idea of maybe, you know, starting a dance with the structured dances like we do, and then, you know, inviting people maybe after the structured dances to also do the unstructured, you know, do your own thing. So it's that we've been talking about a lot of different options and variety. So thank you.
This is Evie in Olympia. And when I've heard people talk about vitality and spontaneity, and that's something that I definitely try to cultivate in myself. And one of the things I do is I walk around Olympia a lot, and certain places speak to me as places that want to be danced in. And so over the last year, I've just listened to that. And so a couple times I've kind of spontaneously put out an email to our dance list and said, you know, let's all dance at the Capitol campus, or let's dance at the park downtown. And it's had a really great response, including, you know, some people were just passing through that had never danced before and joined us for a dance and then continued on downtown to go to the bars or whatever. So that's just something that I feel really called to share. Thank you.
Hi, it's Marcus from Edmonton again. I just wanted to add a quick thing, and I really, can you guys hear me? Hello?
I can hear you.
Okay, thank you. And I really love how this conversation has been flowing. Like, I mean, I feel what's moving in my body, and all these, as well as the multitude and the richness of all the different perspectives are being shared, I feel clear and clear, kind of the heart of what is being offered here. I would just love to recant a little bit of what I'm hearing, if that's okay. And basically, you know, there's a little bit of talk about the vitality and free movement, and I really love some of the perspectives of how somebody mentioned that. Well, sometimes that's that makes people uncomfortable too, and all these things. And when I just reflect on you know, my appreciation for both sides of the spectrum, and what I really feel like what we're asking ourselves is just inviting ourselves to expand this picture of wholeness, of what we're bringing. Of there's moments where we all, you know, where we get serious or when we get really still, and there's times when we need to receive by going outwards or go spontaneous and releasing or rocking out or whatever, and there's no one way. And for us, and I guess we don't really know what people want unless we ask them what they need. I mean, I can know what I need, and so what I'm really hearing is that, you know, all these amazing people that are sharing and are saying, well, you know, practicing good leadership to them, or, you know, devoting to the heart of the dances has meant doing what they felt their community needed, or doing what, and by maybe asking them, or maybe by assuming, and, you know, good leadership will always be good leadership, and I feel that is like such a noble practice, to put yourself in the fire there and be vulnerable and all these things. But what I'm really hearing is that, or what I think what I would like to share is that, well, you know, we're here to bring know, for, I'm here to bring light onto this planet and to create opportunities for that. Sometimes I'm working at the youth shelter, and I could never lead a dance there just like that, or even a free movement or something. But there's little things that I can do, and as leaders, maybe we can keep developing our tool set of what we feel people need. And how do we know what people need unless we ask them when they come by? And you know, keep developing like a richer you know, series of a richer toolbox. So when dance leaders come to an opportunity where they feel if they're really going with your energy, but they may not have the right tool to help. You know, maybe it doesn't need to start off with this a free movement in this dance. Maybe it needs to start off with like a really still meditation or da 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 da. I hope I'm being kind of clear about that, but yeah. So I think that's what I'm saying. Thanks.
Thank you, Marcus.
So I'd like to move into my next question, which seems to be at a good point to do this. So how do we preserve the integrity of the dance transmission while also fostering an open and inclusive atmosphere for everyone to participate? I think we've been talking about how do we reach and reach out to people and to meet them on the level that they're needing while also being true to the sacredness and the each individual dance, you know, attunement that is being led. And if anybody wants to speak on that first, that would be great.
Hi, this is Astara in Seattle. I had a contribution. Before I came to DUP, I was leading dance evenings or music evenings, and I put them in the order of more meditative in the beginning and then more dynamic in the end. And in hindsight, I think I might reverse the order so that there would be a possibility for a more sublime experience at the end and perhaps be a little more open to other forms of expression in the beginning. I know that when I left Wilderness Camp this year, we found a band shell en route to home that was playing music, and we started just sort of ecstatic dancing, doing some twirling. And then it took about a half hour, but then some 20-year-olds joined us. But then families joined us. So it is possible to maybe be more dynamic in the beginning and maybe preserve go deeper as we proceed and make sure that we keep some of the structure intact. As long as we observe the breath, I think the importance of the breath and the importance of the evoked sound, I would never want to see that go away. Otherwise, it will be something altogether different. But and it can't be found elsewhere, I don't think. So I would put it in that order. I love all the comments that have been said so far, too. I've been taking notes. And I want to go to the parks. That's one of my reasons for taking dance leadership, is I want to take them to the parks. Anyways, thank you for listening.
This is Hira Fatah in Seattle also. I want to share about a little experience that included some of both of this for myself and an image that I haven't realized has come out of that. I'm part of the ecstatic dance community here as well as the Dances of Universal Peace community, and both I find very, very rich. And I definitely do see a lot of younger people at the ecstatic dance community, and there are things that I get out of that I just can't get out of Dances of Universal Peace. I need to be able to be expressive with my body without so much form. And the unity of the Dances of Universal Peace is so wonderful. That's great, too. Well, anyway, there was this invitation put out. Somebody was having an ecstatic dance event with the theme Metamorphosis and said, you know, if you've got some ideas about this, come forward. And I have this dance called Metamorphosis. So this was ecstatic dance. But I said, well, what if we started with Dances of Universal Peace? And I found out what key their playlist was starting with. And I actually adjusted the key of my Dance of Universal Peace to go with that and actually cued them when to bring in the recorded music. But the process was a deep process during the Dances of Universal Peace. And then the people who really needed to be expressive, some of them moved out of the dance. It was a dance without partnership, and I was actually doing it without even a circle. There was just a movement in a direction around, but filling the room. And people moved out as they needed to, and then it just melded into ecstatic dance. And it was a really nice way to start this event. But I've had the thought that it would take quite a bit of doing, but of lining up some a number of those transitions between dance of the universal peace into ecstatic dance with some that would allow all of this free movement, and then knowing the key it's in, you know, going back into dance of the universal peace and bringing people into a circle gradually, so people who wanted to continue being expressive while we're doing the dance of the peace would really feel comfortable with that. But those people who are more comfortable with form or just needed, you know, the physical rest that we're more likely to get in the form that Samuel Lewis brought, usually we're not as aerobic, you know, that could happen over and over again, and there could be transitions into seated meditation, so that there would be the full spectrum from uniformity to expression, individual expression, and from full physical aerobic and flexibility and expression sort of output to absolute stillness and quiet even. So I would like to, you know, just put this idea out there. I haven't made it happen. If somebody else feels like grabbing it up and running with it, you know, I think it would take a lot of work and a lot of coordination. Of course, you need a good sound system, plus you need the good live musicians. But wouldn't that be cool? Am I still connected? I don't hear anybody out there.
Can you hear me?
Now I hear you, yes.
Now, okay, I'm having a mute thing happening on my end as well.
I'm hearing a lot of fuzzy background too right now.
Yeah, I just heard a lot of fuzzy background as well. We're coming to a close here with our time together, so I just wanted to ask if anybody had anything that they would like to bring up that we didn't already discuss, something you'd like to share. We have about 5 to 7 minutes here.
Yeah, this is Mark Skin from Edmonton. Is there a way we can all stay in touch and create like an online forum? Because I feel this collective is so powerful, and for us to be able to interact with each other on an ongoing basis for inspiration and for collective wisdom, I feel would be so valuable.
Well, we certainly have, you know, we have the dancing. There's the Dancing Peace Listserv. The Dances of Universal Peace North America has a Facebook page, and folks are welcome to post feedback and questions and sharing of, you know, wonderful things that are happening for you. And there's already been some wonderful exchanges between people at that page. So I think that's our primary forum at this point.
Okay. Let's say, for example, if I want to stay in touch with, I mean, there's so many great people that I would love to offer to stay in touch with and really share and grow and learn with, but, you know, would you feel that would be, I mean, could we start a, you know, just like a sub-thread, just anybody who is on this conference call and needs to be in touch?
We certainly could. If, you know, if everyone would like to email me, then I would be happy to send something out, and we could move forward in that way. My email address, if you haven't already emailed me or seen my email address, it's just jennifer@jenniferfriedman.com, and I'd be
awesome.
Happy to coordinate something like that.
Thanks, Jen.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.
This is Prem Daya from Boise, Idaho, and I'm just curious as to, are we going to have more of these phone calls? Because I think this is wonderful too, to just hear the heart and soul and music in each person's voices as we're sharing this information as well.
Thank you. We've been doing, we did 4 teleconferences last year in 2009, and so we're on our 7th here of, for the 2 years. So our next conference call, I believe, will be in December. And the topic hasn't been firmly decided yet, but it's been tossed around. Hayat, would you like to speak to that?
No, not right now, because we really haven't decided what we're going to talk about, I don't think.
Okay, well, I wasn't sure. I didn't think we had, but...
Yeah.
But there will be another one December, January-ish.
And this is Lucinda. And we, what we would like to do for our next topic is stories about dances at the university.
Oh, I missed the last meeting, so maybe you guys decided without me.
Yep, sorry, Hayat, I forgot.
That's all right.
And Lucinda, I couldn't hear you very well. It was very soft. Very soft.
So our next topic is stories. Stories about the old days of dances of universal peace.
And this is Hayat again in Alexandria. I missed what the person who asked about more calls. I missed her name, but I just wanted to find out how you found out about this this particular telecon.
I'm on Dancing Peace and lots of other ways of knowing. Patsy Spear is my mentor. So.
And had you heard of any of the other ones? I'm just trying
to understand. Yes, actually, I had. I just was wanting to make sure that, you know, hoping that they were going to continue. I've been on some others, but I just haven't spoke up.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, is everyone feeling good? Feeling like you've been able to express what you'd like to express tonight?
Jen, it's Hayat again. I just wanted to add something that I was kind of holding back on earlier. Somebody mentioned about using the meetup.com to promote their dance circle, and I don't think I heard anybody say anything about that. I believe we still have on the website that you can go to the dance organizer, isn't it in the dance organizer area about that will pay for part of the fee for the meetup.com for the first 6 months? I don't remember the details. I'd have to look it up.
Yeah, so on the Dances of Universal Peace North American website, I hope everyone can hear me. There's like an echo happening. But at the www.dancesofuniversalpeacena.org. If you look under the musician and leader resources, there's a subsection called Dance Organizer Toolkit. And under that section, as Hayat was just talking about, there is an offer for 6 months of your subscription to meetup.com to be paid by the organization. And we're just basically doing this as a trial run to see how this goes and see if it's of benefit to you in attracting people to your dance sessions and dance meetings. So if you're interested in that, please check out the website and sign up. All the details to sign up are at the website. Thank you.
In closure, Abraham here, I want to appreciate the heart sharing. This has been a great conversation. I hope it continues. We are connected in the heart. We can meetup.com, but we can meet up in the heart, and we do. And let's continue to do this.
Hi, this is Rachmana from Ohio, and I totally want to support everybody staying connected through the heart, and I really just hate to see another separate avenue created for this. I don't know, if is there anybody here who's not on Dancing Peace or the Facebook page? And I think there's so much here to share with the communities that are already started, that I would hate to have a like separate place that is not going to reach the wider dance community.
Yeah, that's a good point. And also our Facebook page, we could start a discussion there about this. That would be cool.
Yes.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, this is Patsy. I feel this has been so fruitful.
I love it.
It's been beautiful. So thank you so much for doing this. And I do want to continue being part of this conversation.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. I have just a phrase in closing, or a poem, short poem, that I'd like to read. It's by Sheikh Abu Said Abil. Pardon me if I mispronounce. If you are seeking closeness to the beloved, love everyone, whether in their presence or absence. See only their good. If you want to be as clear and refreshing as the breath of the morning breeze, like the sun, have nothing but warmth and light for everyone. So I thank you all for joining us, and I look forward to this conversation continuing on Facebook, Dancing Peace. And until the next time, may you have a wonderful evening and a wonderful fall.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks to everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Salam.
Hello.